Hello, everyone. Welcome. And today is hump day. It is the end of the month, Wednesday, January 31st, 2024. And I am Salapu's sister, and this is my turn to talk. Wow, this month went by fast. Seems like we just had Happy New Year. Now we're going into the second month of the year. And I do hope everyone's having a wonderful day, wherever you are. And as always, I always have to say it, whatever platform you're listening, be it live or the replay, thank you and welcome. Frankie, welcome, welcome. Hey, Minnesota, welcome. Hello, Anthony, welcome. Song uploading here. Okay, let's get started here. Okay, so yesterday we were talking about, you know, should families, what to do about guilty people. So what do we do about innocent people? What do we do about innocent people who are wrongly convicted? You know, how do we stop this from happening? How do we stop? Thank you, Anthony. How do we stop this from happening? How do we make sure that the people who are on trial are convicted? Is it a fault with the jury? Hey, crazy lady. Welcome. Is it the fault with the jury? Is it the fault with the judge? Is it just the criminal system as a whole? Is it the, you know, the DAs, the prosecution, the attorneys for the defendant? I mean, what is it? Is it a cultural thing? Is it a society thing? Or is it just that, you know, going back to what we were saying yesterday and on several other shows, is it just the fact that the justice system in America is just messed up? You know, I think it's sad that you hear about, you know, this person has been in prison for 40 years and they're getting out, you know, because found out that, you know, new evidence or somebody lied or, you know, this wasn't shown or this was hidden or this was suppressed or, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, and then, yeah, you can come out and, yeah, you can get millions of dollars, but do those millions of dollars get your life back. You get those other years that you lost back. Do you get the fact that, you know, if you had children, your children grew up? You know, parents have died. Weddings were missed. Funerals were missed. Your life is just gone. I mean, you still have the years ahead of you. And let's say that you only spent five years in prison, or, you know, let's say you just spent a year in prison for being wrongly convicted. That's still a year out of your life. No, it's not 40. No, it's not 30, you know, but it's still time that you miss. Reputations are ruined, not just for you, but maybe your family. You know, maybe your child went to school every day, you know, being teased because, you know, your father was in prison, your mother was in prison, you know, whatever, and you were relentlessly teased. And maybe that life was also ruined. So what do we do? How do we get the system to where people are not, innocent people are not convicted? I mean, is that too much to ask? Tormetti Stephen, I hope I pronounced your name correctly. If I didn't, please, I apologize, but welcome. You know, how do we stop that? Is it something that we are able to stop? You know, what do we do? Now, supposedly, 4 to 6% of people incarcerated in U.S. prisons are actually innocent. So that would mean 1 in 20 criminal cases result in wrongful convictions. Now, for some people, that number may not seem high, but it's high for the person who is in prison and they're wrongly convicted. So again, I come back to, what do we do? What do we do to fix this? Can we fix it? Okay, Minnesota, I see you say no, and you say race plays a huge part. I mean, is it? I mean, you know, does the color of your skin determine whether or not your chances of being wrongfully convicted will happen? Okay, and the Minnesota says poor versus rich. That's another thing. You know, people who are on the lower end of the economic scale usually have to rely on a public defender. If that public defender is overwhelmed, which they usually are, they're not going to pay attention to your case the way that they should. You know, will they even care because they're not getting paid the millions of dollars as opposed to a rich person who can't afford an attorney? They can't afford, you know, a good attorney, one of the best. Does that determine whether or not you'll be wrongfully convicted? How do we keep innocent people from going to jail in the first place? And then those innocent people, when, you know, they're in prison, maybe things happen to them where they're trying to survive and they end up, I'm just throwing this out here, you know, they end up killing someone because they're trying to survive. So now they're innocent from what they did, you know, before they came to jail. But now, you know, they kill someone. So now they have that. Or, you go to prison and you're sexually molested or you're beaten or whatever. You know, even just that 1 year in prison, that one night in prison, you know, can possibly do a lot of harm. I mean, it's not anything that you can come out and just say, oh, I'm sorry. But unfortunately, that's what happens. Please accept the state's apology. And here, by the way, here's $10 million. But did $10 million going to, you know, erase all the trauma? And again, if you just been in, you know, went to jail just for one night, a lot can happen in 24 hours. What if you're that meek, you know, kid who's put in, you know, into a facility, in a juvenile facility with a lot of people who are not meek, whatever. And then 24 hours later, oh, we're releasing you. We found out that we had the wrong person. A lot can happen in those 24 hours. A lot can happen. What do you do? How do we keep innocent people out of prison? You know, when DNA testing came out, that was a huge help. You know, but you still have forensic evidence that is wrong. You know? And one of the main reasons that people are wrongfully convicted is because of your eyewitness. You have witnesses who misidentify people, or sometimes they purposely identify people as the perpetrator when they were in fact not. Now let's talk a little bit about the Me Too movement. How many men have gone to jail because women said they were raped when they weren't? You know, I mean, just so many things happen within the judicial system. But then again, you have women who were raped, but because the system, the way the system works, a lot of the perpetrators get off. You know? And then let's talk about the executions. What about people who are in, and then again, this show is completely different from the one that we did yesterday. Completely different. We're, you know, we were talking about, well, anyway, people who were here yesterday. So what about people who die because of wrongful convictions? I mean, you can't tell a dead person, I'm sorry. You can't give a dead person a couple of million dollars. You can say it to their family. You can give the money to their family. But that person is dead. That person's gone. You know, so I just want to know once again, how do you stop it? And yes, Anthony, I am saying a lot. You know, but let's go back to the eyewitness account. So, you know, there's a car accident. Hey, Daddy Hoff, welcome. Or Spider Hoff, rather welcome. So let's go to that car accident. There's a car accident on the corner of Main Street. Six people saw it. You get six different versions. So when you have someone who witnessed a crime, and there's misidentification of, you know, the witness misidentification. Is it the same as a car accident that six people will see six, you know, give six different versions of what the perpetrator looked like? Should it be that if you say that someone was in a, you know, black hat and pair of jeans, wearing a white shirt or a hoodie or, you know, driving a blue car or whatever, should the police make sure that, you know, you're just not pulling over the first person who fits that description, because a lot of descriptions are very vague. I mean, unless you have the person on camera and you see them, you know, or someone is absolutely sure, should that person be arrested? But then, to play devil's advocate, what if the person really is the person that committed the crime? But what if they're not? You know, when they say that eyewitness misidentification is one of the main reasons for wrongful convictions. And nationwide, supposedly, 28%, and that's a high number to me, 28% of exonerations are because of witness misidentification. But meanwhile, that person has spent time in prison. What do you do? And let's say a person misidentifies someone, and that person spends time in prison. How do you think the person who misidentified the person feels? I mean, do they even care? Should they be held accountable? I mean, what? What do you do? Because again, I say, people who are innocent, who spend time in prison, that's time that they've lost out of their lives. Be it 1 year, 2 years, 40 years, 50 years, it's time that they've lost. And probably a lot of emotional trauma that they've gained. You know, and you have some states that have laws that they, you know, in terms of wrongful convictions, you know, everybody doesn't walk out with, you know, can sue for millions and millions of dollars. Some, you know, some states have a cap. Well, sorry, this is all you're going to get. You know, but is it really about the money? You know, you're in prison. Your mom gets sick. Your dad gets sick. They pass away. A lot of times you cannot go to the funeral. They won't let you, especially if it's out of state. Your children grow up, get married. How do you repair that relationship? How do you repair a relationship with children who thought that you were a murderer or a rapist or whatever? You know, what does the state say about that? Oh, go and get some counseling. You'll be okay, right? Does the person who was wrongfully convicted because of witness misidentification, do they have the right to go back to the person who identified them, who misidentified them? Do they have the right to sue them? Can I sue you? You're the reason that I went to prison. I'm suing you. What if it was evidence that was suppressed? Can the DA or law enforcement or whomever, can they be held accountable? Should that be a prison term? I mean, there's so many factors, you know, that you can, you know, bring up. But again, you still have people who are wrongfully convicted. But then at the same time, again, playing both sides, you have people who all the evidence is there and they're found not guilty and they were guilty of sin. And they walk free. You know, just like that drunk driver. They maim and kill everybody else, but usually they walk away without a scratch or a scratch or two, but they're walking. You know, one of the most infamous wrongful conviction cases, Central Park jogger case. It took DNA evidence to prove that these five young men were innocent, but they spent years in jail. Yes, they came out with millions of dollars and what have you, but they spent a lot of years in prison, and it's still a case that people dispute, but DNA evidence cleared them. You know, you have Henry and Leon McCollum, 19 years old, and his brother Leon, 15. They were wrongfully charged with the gruesome death of an 11-year-old. They were interrogated without an attorney for hours. After spending 31 years in prison, 31 years, DNA evidence indisputably exonerated them. But you're 15 years old and you're spending 31 years in prison. You're 19 years old and you're spending 31 years in prison. Your life, I mean, and whether you're exonerated or not, if people know you were in prison, whether you're innocent or not, are they going to want to hire you? especially if it was a huge case. The 2006 case of the Duke lacrosse team. Some of them were falsely accused of a rape. Someone lied. It derailed their sports careers. Some of them never got over it. And Tormenti Stephen says the judges have to be judged too because they take bribes and jail innocent people. Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, you know, where does it stop? Because unfortunately, when you do have a situation where the judge, you know, is taking bribes, it's nearly impossible to get a fair trial because they're the ones who are, you know, bringing the gavel down saying, you know, overruled. You know, they're the ones that are in control of their courtroom. You know, can you really feel comfortable and sleep at night knowing that you sent an innocent person to prison? And again, I don't care if it's a day, or if it is 31 years, that's detrimental. And like I say, anything can happen in 24 hours. And while I know that you have correction officers who have a very hard job, stressful job, but they're also, some of them, on the take. Now, this 15-year-old kid was charged as an adult. He went to an adult prison. I wonder how he fared the first couple of nights. So again, how do we keep innocent people out of prison? When you look at the jury pool and, you know, they give you that questionnaire where you're supposed to, you know, answer these questions. And then if you get called in, you know, and they're asking you these questions, what have you. What if the jury is biased? What if this particular juror is biased? And they give the answers that they think that the opposing person wants to hear. And you get on the jury. You know, you can either sit there and convince the other 11 people to think your way, or you can purposely say not guilty or guilty to cause a mistrial. And depending upon how famous the case is, maybe some jury members are even bribed. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all human, right? We are all human. Hey, boss, welcome. So, again, how do we prevent innocent people from being convicted? I don't think we ever will. I think innocent people are going to continue to spend years in prison until someone listens to them, because that's what it comes down to. Because a lot of these people who are, you know, getting out of prison and what have you, you know, they have people, you know, who will finally listen to what they're to what they're saying. They finally get an ear. Or they have people on the outside, maybe their families are constantly going to people, whatever. But the fact that you even have to do all of that just to be heard. And then you have to convince the court to give you a new trial. This stuff doesn't happen overnight. You can, you know, it could be another year or so before you get a new trial. Meanwhile, that's another year you're in prison. And what about the people? You know, we hear a lot, you know, when people walk out of, you know, jail and, you know, after being wrongfully convicted, and they're standing in front of the cameras and they're raising their fist up and, you know, as in, you know, for victory and what have you. But what else about the person or the people who were responsible for them being in prison in the first place? What happens to them? That's why I say, you know, can I go back and sue them? Can I go back and bring criminal charges against them, be it just an everyday citizen, be it a law enforcement, be it the judge, be it the DA, be it my own attorney, whatever? Should they be required to spend time in prison? Should it be an automatic, if you lie or you suppress any evidence or you do things to make this person go to prison, I shouldn't have to come and bring charges against you. You should automatically go to prison. I mean, is that wrong? I mean, hell, I spent 31 years in prison for something I didn't do. And it took DNA evidence to exonerate me. But was it shoddy police work in the first place? I mean, when you think about it, DNA, you know, has not the ability to exonerate people with DNA and convict people with DNA. It has not been around for that long. So what do you do? I say the people who put you in prison should spend time in prison. And Tormenti says, going back to sue them won't bring back the harm they caused. It's so sad we go through all this as humans. No, and you're absolutely right. And that's my point. You cannot get those years back. You cannot, you know, the trauma that it caused. And like I said, you could have gone in there being the nicest person, whatever, but you come out, hey, shy lady, but you come out of prison, or you're stuck in prison because just by trying to survive, you end up committing a crime because you're trying to survive. So now you're in prison because, you know, now you have, you know, years added to your sentence because you really did do this crime, but you would not have done the crime if you were not in prison in the first place for a crime that you did not do. You know, and you're and Tormenta, you're absolutely right. I mean, suing people, you know, when you hear about the victims' families going back and suing for this and suing for that and what have you, yeah, you can sue. And you know, you're putting a hurt in someone's wallet, or you know, the state has to pay this, you know, or the city has to pay this, and you know, it can bankrupt the city or whatever. But I think for a lot of families, this is just my own personal opinion, it's not necessarily about the money, because that person is still dead, as I said yesterday. Or in this case, it doesn't give me back those years that I miss. In 2003, there was a young lady by the name of Kimberly Long in California. She arrived home and discovered her boyfriend bludgeoned to death in the living room of the home that they shared. She immediately called 911. The police charged her with the crime. She pleaded that the police were wrongfully accusing her. They didn't believe her. They had a witness putting her at the scene. Case went to court. First jury was hung. 9 jurors were in favor of acquittal. The second jury, after they were given a break over Christmas, came back and found her guilty. After she spent 11 years in prison, they found that the star witness testimony was unreliable. Forensic evidence, which of course was DNA, found that she was telling the truth the entire time. Not only did she lose her boyfriend, but as they say, she lost 11 years of her life. Suzanne Johnson. Died in the, in the care of her San Diego home daycare. Police did not believe that the baby had an accidental fall. They turned her home into a crime scene. Wrongfully accused her. She was sentenced to 25 years after 21 years, after they went back to look at the case and see exactly how it could have happened. Governor Newsom granted her clemency. 21 years in prison. Now, let's talk about the daycare for a moment. Let's talk about these people who run daycares, and it comes up that people are saying that my child was molested or whatever. And some of you all may know about the McMartin daycare trial back in the 80s. the way that entire case was handled was pretty much putting words in the mouths of children. They were innocent. But that family pretty much lost everything. And that trial pretty much set the stage of how you interview children. So again, how do you keep innocent people from prison? I don't think you ever will, because there's just too many factors. Your economic situation is a problem. Either you can afford good legal representation, or you can't. And whether or not we want to admit it or not, race is an issue. Most of the wrongful convictions out there are of people of color. Gender is an issue, especially when it comes into domestic violence cases. You know, again, what do? Are the police to believe all the time? A lot of times it's the police that are, you know, setting you up. Tormenti says, in Ghana, most people in prison are innocent. Sometimes it's sad listening to them. You know, so I don't know. You guys are really quiet today. You know, I don't know. It's just something that again, we're all human. But when you see a judge free a molester and blame, you know, this 14-year-old that, well, she shouldn't have been dressed like that, or, you know, she doesn't look like she's 14. You have some girls that are developed. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if she looks like she has a body of a 25-year-old. So when you have judges like that that make these crazy rulings, those are the judges that should be immediately taken, not just off the case, which is, no, you cannot oversee any more cases anymore. When you have police officers that are known to have complaints against them and known to do things that they shouldn't, they should be pulled off the force and not allowed to go somewhere else. If you have this lady next door who's constantly calling the police and misidentifying people, you should go to jail. All these people who are doing things that are wrong should go to prison. Will that be a deterrent from people stopping innocent people from being convicted? If you have a juror that's taken a bribe or something, they should go to prison. Let them experience the same thing that this other person experienced for 10 years, 11 years, 31 years, 50 years, whatever. And not just here in the United States. I mean, I'm looking at what Tormenti said about Ghana. I mean, just everywhere. because you miss so much of so much, you know, life is short. Our time on this earth is short. You know, you can live to be 100, but you look back at your life and it's like, wow, you know, here it is, you know, January 31st. And I'm literally, you know, saying to myself, didn't we just celebrate Happy New Year? Weren't we just talking about the New Year? Didn't we just finish Christmas? And now it's January 31st. Life is short. And again, I say, if you're innocent and you're in jail for 24 hours or 24 years, a lot can happen in 24 hours. A lot of trauma can happen in 24 hours. Just by saying guilty, you know, you're going to jail. Just, you know, I can't imagine. And if you're a young person, the fear that you're going through, mom and dad can't help you. They can't protect you the way they did when you're out. So that was my question for today. How do we keep innocent people from being wrongfully convicted? And like I said, this is completely different from yesterday's show. So anyway, guys, that is all I have. And I'm going to leave you guys with Solomon Burke. Some of you all may know who he is. He's old school, if you're old school. But I am going to leave you guys with Solomon Burke's None of Us Are Free.
And brothers, because if you do, you can hear there are voices still calling across the years, and they're all crying across the ocean, and they're crying across the land, and they will too. We all come to understand. None of us are free. None of us are free. Can't see the light. If you don't say it's wrong, then that says it's right. We got to try to feel for each other. Let our brothers know that we care. Got to get the message. Send it out loud and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. Oh, getting smaller each passing day.
Passing day.
Now it's time to start making changes, and it's time for us all to realize that the truth is shining bright right before our eyes.
Before
none of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free.
And that's it, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. Tomorrow is Thursday, so I will be over at my other house. Thank you all for coming, and enjoy your day wherever you are in the world. Bye.